Now, I'll let you in on a little secret. It's been argued and debated in quiet pastors' circles about how many sermons we actually have in us as pastors. And, you know, thinking about all the pastors who typically preach every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out, just how many sermons do they actually have within them? I mean, in their very gut. And I would be one of those in the pastor's camp that believes there really is only one essential, basic sermon that a pastor has within him or herself. Other pastors might think two or three, or maybe every time they get in the pulpit, they're going to say something new and original. There's only one for me, and that might be a positive or a negative for you, but here is my one. And in fact, after I give you this one, you could get up and leave if you want, but then you'd miss more lovely music, and you'd miss the fellowship, and you'd miss the company of Jesus here in this place, but you're welcome to leave. Here is my one essential, a basic sermon, and it would be this, that I would, in all of my power, through the Spirit and all humility and grace, encourage you to desire Jesus more and more in your life as diligent and as devoted disciples. That's it. That's all there is. That you would desire Jesus more and more in your life as you become a diligent and devoted disciple of Jesus. Now, I see most of you, all of you are staying here, so now we can look at a gospel story, a model of a true disciple. Maybe he'll surprise you. But if you open up your Pew Bible to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, you'll see a disciple who follows his Savior and his Master. Here's the story, really, in a nutshell. It's blind Bartimaeus, of all people, who recognizes his need. He calls out to Jesus in faith, given sight and healed. Bartimaeus responds with gratitude, and he follows Jesus. That's the story in a nutshell. I want to be this kind of disciple. Now, we're going to look at this drama. First, we're going to look at the crowd, and then we're going to look at Bartimaeus, and then we have to look at Jesus, of course. Are you a little like the crowd? Are you a little like Bartimaeus? Are you captivated by Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Let's read the story. So they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered or rebuked him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Let us pray. We thank you humbly and gladly, living Holy Spirit, for filling this place and this worship this morning, for covering these words, for lifting me, and for encircling these, your cherished beloved, beautiful people here and now. May these next moments be devoted to you as a responsive sign of our desire to see you and to know you, to love you, and to follow you, Lord Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so first off, where are you and I in the crowd? Notice there are a couple, two ironies here. 15 miles from Jerusalem on the road to Jericho, the crowds are piling up upon Jesus. They're following the master rabbi as was his custom, particularly during the journey into the holy city during Passover. The first irony in Mark's narrative, here it is. When Jesus passes through Jericho and into Jerusalem, there are huge, overflowing crowds who are following him. However, when Jesus leaves Jerusalem a week later, dead and buried, hardly anyone follows him. When he was the bee's bonnet, if you will, when he was the superstar Messiah, everyone crowds around him, but not a week later. When Jesus is hung up on a Roman cross, dead and buried, no one follows him. We didn't follow him. We ran and we hid, didn't we? We left him lonely in his loneliest hour. And here's the irony. Jesus never leaves us alone in our darkest hours. Claim that and believe it. Now, I like being a part of the crowd. If I follow this cool Messiah, for example, by association, then I become pretty cool myself. That's how it works. Grabbing a hold of the master rabbi's coattails, I begin to think that I'm as important, or at least a little less important than Jesus. And then I've got to say then about who's in and who's out. I begin to believe that I own the litmus test for who's in and who's out as a true follower of Jesus. Tax collectors and beggars and the blind and the lame and the diseased, you've got to be kidding me. Wall Street investors and bankers and housewives and realtors and lawyers, you've got to be kidding me. Here's the second irony in Mark's narrative. Notice the crowd of Jesus' followers rebuke a blind man. They rebuke him, which means to sternly order him down, to keep him down, to criticize sharply, to rebuke him. Those who are following Jesus are the ones trying to keep someone from Jesus. Now, we've seen this disciples' behavior before in the Gospels, and I know this propensity in my own walk with Jesus. As Dale Bruner writes, sometimes Christ's followers are the greatest obstacles to others following Jesus. I don't own Jesus. I don't own Jesus. He's not here for my own self-interest or my own worth at the expense of others. I can't keep Jesus for myself, just for my own sense of worth. If you and I want to follow Jesus, we must then share him with others. We must invite others in and welcome them in to see who Jesus is. If you and I want to follow Jesus, we must give Jesus away. We must pass him on. Next, where is the Bartimaeus in you? The Bartimaeus. Notice that Bartimaeus is sitting. That's really important. He is sitting off on the side of the road. It's the ancient symbol of a social outcast. He's beaten down off the beaten path outside of Jericho, where social outcasts belonged. Bartimaeus is certainly not a part of the crowd. But notice, on this, the last and most decisive journey into Jerusalem, the first one to see Jesus, the first one to truly recognize Jesus, is a blind man. Blind Bartimaeus, the Jew, truly recognizes him. He cries out for Jesus, Yeshua, Hebrew, it means salvation. He cries out to Jesus, Son of David, which means Messiah. The blind man recognizes Jesus. He sees Jesus for who he is. When he hears it is Jesus, Bartimaeus cries out like a beggar. The narrative tells us this. He cries out like a beggar, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner." It is the haunting confession of the beggar before God. We don't like to look at ourselves this way, but friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are beggars before God. We need God. It's the plain truth, nothing less and nothing more. We need God. Lord, help me. I am a mess. I do not know what to do. Lord, my wife is not winning her cancer battle. Have mercy. Lord, my child is lost and distant. Have mercy. Lord, this world is spinning out of control. Have mercy on us. We are beggars before God. No one, not even the crowd's rebuke, is going to take away Bartimaeus's chance to escape from his world of darkness. The audacious, tenacious Bartimaeus calls out even more loudly. This is important. He cries out even more loudly. Do you see his intensity and his focus? Now, I know there is the intensity and the focus of closing a hard, fought-after deal. I know that there is the intensity and the focus of getting your child into the best school. I know there is the intensity and the focus of lining up that birdie putt that you hope to make on the 18th green. But this is an intensity and a focus that is far more. Nothing is going to stop Bartimaeus from getting face to face with Jesus. Nothing. And think of all the times that you and I hold back from getting face to face with Jesus. Is it just too vulnerable for us? Is it just too exposing? Do we think that Jesus is just simply going to demand too much of us? Yes. Yes. Yes, it will be vulnerable, it will be disclosing, and it will demand something of us. Bartimaeus knows he has nothing to lose, just his blindness. Bartimaeus goes for it. He doesn't hesitate to cry out. He knows his need. It is to see clearly again. It is Bartimaeus's bold and unabashed display of faith which gets to Jesus. It really gets to Jesus. I love this part. It is the one who knows he does not see to whom Jesus gives sight. It is the one who knows he doesn't see to whom Jesus gives sight. It is the one who knows he's hit rock bottom to whom Jesus will raise up. It is the one who knows she is utterly broken to whom Jesus will mend and repair and heal. And then there is Jesus. The psalmist says, "The Lord delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper." Jesus calls to Bartimaeus to come, and he eagerly and immediately responds. Everything here speaks of expectant faith. Bartimaeus, the outcast, he casts off his coat and that hinders him, and he is running as quickly as he can to Jesus. It's a stunning narrative. Now, how is a blind man doing that? He jumps to his feet. In an instant, Bartimaeus responds to the call of Christ. Now, here is how immediate, perhaps for you too, here is how immediate my response is so often to Christ. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. I'll be right with you. Just a second, Jesus. Hold on. I'm coming. Just a minute. Bartimaeus comes like a shot out of a cannon right to Jesus, face to face. When Jesus calls, there is no hesitation. There is complete desire. There is deep and utter trust. Do you drop everything for Jesus when God invites you or calls you? Do you remember the woman from Samaria has just had this life-giving, life-saving conversation with Jesus at the well? What happens? Do you remember what she drops? Her water pot. And what does she do? She races back to the village to tell everyone what has just happened to her. Do we drop everything when Jesus invites us or calls us? Now, it's important to know that this is the last story that is narrated by Mark of Jesus before Jesus heads into Jerusalem for his final days. This last story before Jerusalem is not Jesus teaching in the synagogue. It's not Jesus talking along the seaside about God's way. Those are very important in the gospel story of Jesus' life and ministry. But here at the gospel's turning point, Jesus' summary story is a healing story of who Jesus is and of what Jesus is all about. The deliverer of the needy. He is the everlasting God. He is the defender of the weak. Mark wants us all to know this and to hear this and to see this. And notice that Jesus doesn't immediately heal Bartimaeus. Now, Jesus could certainly do that if he wanted to, but he doesn't heal Bartimaeus immediately. Instead, Jesus first inquires. Jesus is in search, foremost, of engagement, of contact, of connection. And he asks a question, prompting conversation. Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Surely Jesus is able to heal on demand. We know that. But Jesus wants relational investment. Jesus wants you to want an encounter. Jesus wants you to want contact and to want a connection with him. The greatest gift for me as a pastor is to be used by the Holy Spirit to bring you closer to Jesus, to be a guide or a shepherd, to bring you closer to Jesus so that you would be changed, so that you would be transformed. It is the greatest gift a pastor ever can have. For us, for me to know, to help you to know how deeply, how fiercely God loves you. Jesus inquires because he wants to see Bartimaeus' depth of faith. Where others choose a safe distance from risk or for opportunity or from adventure, where others choose a safe distance, Jesus likes to get in close. In that moment of encounter, Jesus wants to know, are you ready, Bartimaeus, to go, to come with me and to follow? Jesus wants to get in close. Are you ready, David, to go and to come with me and to follow? Are you ready, brothers and sisters, to go, to come with me and to follow Jesus? In all the big and small ways throughout your day, following Jesus. To his faithful disciple, eyes wide open, Jesus says, go, thy faith hath made thee well. It is the disciples' charge always by Jesus to go and to serve and to love. Because Jesus moves in close. Bartimaeus then, in grateful response, stays close forever and for always following Jesus. His eyes only for Jesus now. Blind Bartimaeus recognizes his need. He calls out in faith. Given sight, Bartimaeus responds in gratitude, and he follows Jesus. Let us pray. Come, Lord, fount of every blessing. Tune our hearts to sing of your grace and your mercy. Praise your unchanging love. We honor and praise you for your unchanging love. We are now fixed upon it, we pray, by your Spirit. Lord, we are so often prone to wander, and we know it and we feel it. We are prone to leave you and not call out to you, the Lord that we need the most, the Lord that we love. And so here we offer our hearts, Christ Jesus, here are our hearts. Lord Jesus, take and seal it forever by your grace and by your love. Amen.